Good morning, everyone. First of all, I want to say thank you for all your supports and for all of your praise. It did work. And I'm really happy to having such a big family like you. So thank you for that. Today, Bible's reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16, which is I'm going to read it in Persian. But unfortunately, because my sisters are not here, Haley will help me with changing the slides. Oh, thank you for that, for changing. Yeah. So let's get started.
من که به سبب خدمت خداوند اینجا در زندان به سر میبرم، از شما التماس میکنم طوری زندگی و رفتار کنید که شایسته مقامتان باشد، مقامی که خدا به شما عطا کرده است. فروتن و مهربان باشید، نسبت به یکدیگر بردبار باشید و به سبب محبتی که به هم دارید از خطاها و اشتباهات یکدیگر چشم پوشی نمایید. سعی کنین همواره متفقاً از روح خدا هدایت شوین تا بتوانین همیشه با هم در صلح و صفا باشید. ما همه اعضای یک بدنیم و در همگی ما یک روح ساکن است، یعنی روح القدس، و همه ما برای رسیدن به یک امید دعوت شده ایم، یعنی به آن جلالی که خدا برای ما تدارک دیده است. برای ما فقط یک خداوند، یک ایمان و یک معبد وجود دارد. همه ما یک خدا داریم که پدر همه ما و بالاتر از همه ما و در همه ماست و در تمام ذرات وجود ما زندگی می کند. با این حال مسیح طبق صلاح دید خود از دولت کرم خیش به هر یک از ما فیض خاصی بخشیده است. در کتاب زبور داوود نیز درباره مسیح پیشگویی شده که وقتی او پس از مرگ زنده شد و شیطان را مغلوب ساخت و ظفرمندانه به آسمان بازگشت، به مردم هدایت بخشید. دقت کنید که می‌فرماید به آسمان بازگشت، یعنی می‌بایست ابتدا از آسمان نزول کرده به اعماق زمین رفته و بعد آن باز دوباره بازگردد. همان کسی که پایین آمده همان است که بالا بازگشت، بالاتر از آسمان‌ها، تا همه چیز را در همه جا از حضور خود پرهار سازد. به این ترتیب او عطایا و افسادی‌های خود را به ما بخشید. به بعضی از ما عطای خاص یک رسول را داده است. به عده‌ای این عطا را داده است که از خداوند پیغام دریافت کنند و آن را به دیگران اعلام نمایند. به برخی از استعدادها و ویژگی‌های ما به ما کمک ساخته است که دوباره آن را به مردم نشان دهیم و ما را به سوی خداوند هدایت کند. و برخی دیگر این توانایی را داده است که مانند یک شبان از قوم خود مراقبت کنیم و ایشان را رهبری و نمایت نماییم. مسیح این عطایا را با این هدف ما بخشید که ایمانداران مجهز شوند تا بتوانند بهتر او را خدمت کنند و باعث پیشرفت کلیسا، یعنی بدن او، گردند و ما کلیسا به رشد برسیم تا سرانجام همه ما در ایمان و شناخت خود از فرزند خدا متحد شده رشد کنیم و به پریز برسیم. در آن صورت دیگر مانند اطفال نخواهیم بود که در اثر سخنان دیگران و دروغ‌هایی که برای گمراهی ما می‌گویند هر لحظه نسبت به ایمان تغییر عقیده بدهیم، بلکه با عشق و علاقه همراه در پی راستی خواهیم بود. راست خواهیم گفت، راست عمل خواهیم کرد و راست خواهیم زیست تا به این ترتیب به تدریج در هر امری مانند مسیح شویم که هر کلیسا می‌خواهد. تحت هدایت مسیح است که تمام اعضای بدن او، یعنی کلیسا، در جای خود قرار می‌گیرد. هر اندامی با روش خاص خود به اندام‌های دیگر کمک می‌کند، به طوری که تمام بدن در تندرستی کامل و پر از محبت به رشد می‌نماید. Thank
you. Good to be here again this morning with you. It's been Just, I've really appreciated your hospitality over the last 3 weeks, and your welcome, and just your embracing of me, popping in for a few weeks to share with you, and so I've really appreciated that. And I've really enjoyed that, and hopefully you've got something out of it, and that God has spoken to you through what we've explored the last couple of weeks. And I want to pray for us specifically right now that we might gather that in today as well, that we might really hear from what God's got to say for us. So let me pray for us just in this time that we would really hear that. Now, Lord God, on this day when we remember the sacrifice of many people 100 years ago. We also want to remember the sacrifice that you made in sending Jesus 2,000 years ago and the difference that that makes in our lives. And so, Lord, we pray again this morning. We just pray peace over this place at this time. We pray that we might have ears to hear, that our minds might be able to hear, but that our hearts might be able to hear what you have to say to us this morning. And we pray that our lives will not be able to stay the same when we've heard from you. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to put hands and feet and legs on what you teach us. And we pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. Amen. Well, part of the hospitality that I've been shown in being here was being invited. David invited me on the bushwalk yesterday, which a couple of people have mentioned. It was a long day. We were out there a long time, but long enough for me to grow a bit of a beard while we were out there. And, you know, like it wasn't quite that long. That's been growing for a few days. But it was a great day. And one of the things that you realise when you go bush is that particularly when you go as bush as we went yesterday, is that you actually need instructions or a map or something like that to get yourself around. And we did take a wrong turn at one point, and I'm not going to tell you that I was the navigator at that point in time when we took the wrong turn, but that was only a minor one and we managed to get back on track and that was all okay. But when you have a map or you kind of know where you're going, you look at the map and you go, oh, right, that's where we started, that's where we are now, and there's our destination. So I just want us to get out the map just briefly this morning and go, okay, where do we start? Where were we up to last week, and where are we going today, as we'll see as we go through. So let's just do that. So last couple of weeks we've been exploring the crucial importance for us of the question of identity. The question of identity, knowing clearly who we are as a rock-solid basis for doing the rest of our lives in healthy ways, or somewhat healthy ways at least. And we began in week one, way back in the garden, at creation, beginning of Genesis, a garden where Creator God himself breathed life into those first human beings. A garden where God visited with them and spoke value and belonging and love and this amazing inclusion into God's community of people. God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and invited people into that as well. Remarkable what God did in that space. And so we had these first people that God made who knew exactly who they were. They knew their identities, what their identities were, no question. They knew, because God spoke over them, that they were these magnificent people made in the very image of the Creator God himself, and they were loved and cherished and wonderfully provided for. They could look around and see that. But then, for them, that rock-solid sense of identity was lost as another voice entered into their experience, whispering and questioning the goodness of God. And sadly, they chose to listen to that other voice and ignore God's voice over them. And they began to forget who they really were as they listened to that other voice. And as we said, tragically, that loss of identity has been passed down in humankind generation to generation to generation. And it's something we still struggle with today. But then last week, we were reminded that God never gave up on us as humans. He never gave up on us. He never gave up on his dream of a people who would freely choose to come back to him and re-engage with that wonderful relationship that he originally created us to be in, to rediscover who we truly were and what we were made for. And so in God's plan, as it plays out over time, we meet Jesus. And last week we saw how the Apostle Paul just kind of pours out all of this stuff that God has done in Jesus in this letter that he writes to the Ephesian church. He writes it to us as well. And as we saw last week, the things that God has done for us, we realize that we are brilliantly blessed by God. that were chosen by him before the creation of the world, which is remarkable. That we're destined to be adopted as his sons and daughters, redeemed and forgiven. And we talked about how God has freely given and how he has lavished his grace on us for us to know redemption and forgiveness brilliantly in him. His plans in Christ, the mystery of what he'd done, he also let us know about it. He made known that to us. And then he wraps it all up in bringing unity, everything in unity under Christ. So as we looked at that, we said, you know, originally Paul wrote it, it was one long sentence, 12 verses, because it's just pouring out of Paul. He's so excited about this and wants to get it out there. And then last week we also had David's baptism, where we had the Lord's Supper. Two more powerful reminders that just bring us back to where our identity is founded in Jesus. It was a big week last week, wasn't it? And so this morning I just want to wrap all of this up as we explore a question that naturally flows out of that. If we get to the point where we are knowing or re-establishing our identity in who God says we are in Jesus, how do we then live that out? How do we live in the light of that? Knowing all of that stuff that we've talked about the last 2 weeks, how do we live in the light of that? How do we actually live in it? Well, I was thinking about this during the week again, and first up, one thing is that it will look different to each one of us, and it will look different for each one of us. God has made each one of us unique, and we each play a different part in his world. We move in different circles. We relate to different people. We have responsibilities in different areas. We have different gifts and abilities and things that God has given us as resources to work with. Different personalities. So it'll be different for each one of us. But another thing is that living who we are is not just a matter of following some list of rules or a set list of tasks. In so many ways for us, and particularly for some personality types in us, that would be a lot easier. It would be a lot easier. Just give me a list of the stuff to do, and I'll do it, no problem. It's quite a human thing to want to kind of tick off the boxes and kind of just clean our hands off and say, I've done it. It's all done. I've done it. I'm in. All good. And you know, that's a lot of religious systems around the place. That's how they work, on some variation of that. These are the things you have to do to be included, to be in. But in God's kingdom, it doesn't work quite like that. Because God has already done the stuff, right? God has done the stuff. And when you say yes to Jesus, you're already in. You're already included. Again, we talked about that last week. And remember, as we said from week one, it all starts with God. It doesn't start with us, it starts with him. So we're already included in that. And so you see, the way of Jesus, it seems, is less about the actual doing of things, although the doing of things does matter and comes with that. But with Jesus, it's more about who we are. It's more about who we are, which is most important. So more about who you are as you do what you do, rather than actually what you do. Does that make sense? It's who you are that motivates you to do that. And so the Apostle Paul, in the passage that was read for us, and read out in Farsi, that's a first for me. That was wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, wonderful experience to experience that. In the passage that Paul that was read out for us, Paul doesn't begin by giving us a list of things to do. Did you notice that as it went up there? That wasn't the first stuff that he talked about up there. He does come to some more specific instructions about how to live in this way in the second half of this chapter, but that's not where he starts. And that's an important distinction. That's an important thing to look at. That's significant. And so he begins chapter 4 talking about living a life worthy of the calling you have received, and being humble and gentle and patient. Patient with each other, bearing with each other, of being a person of peace, promoting the unity that is in line with who God is for people. And it's It's kind of like Paul is saying, be these things rather than do this thing or that thing or that thing. The doing things will flow out of that, but this is more about who we are, more about who we are as people. And that works in whatever situation we're in. If we're just ticking boxes and doing the thing that's in front of us, we might be missing a whole bigger picture. So these things are more like characteristics of who we are that will lead us to behave in helpful ways because we become these kind of people, right? We become these people, kind of people. And you know, when we read the Gospels, when we read the stories of Jesus, we read the accounts about Jesus, we see that Jesus is so centered, isn't he? He is so unflustered and unruffled by the demands of the people and the crowds and the opposition that's pressing in on him and the people that, you know, are opposing him and all of that sort of thing. He knows how to sort out the important things from the urgent things, something that we always need wisdom to do as well. But Jesus was able to sort those things out. And he has this sense of calm, peaceful destiny in what he's doing. How does he do that? How does Jesus do that? How does he live that way? He experienced many of the things we experience in life, the rush, the bustle, the pressure, all of that sort of stuff. How does Jesus live that way? Well, here's how I reckon. Jesus knows exactly who he is, and he knows who his Father is. And he knows what his mission is. And he's heard his Father speak over him the words, he's heard him say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." So Jesus knows his connection there. That's where he gets his reflection of who he is. And from out of that place of settledness and complete security and trust in who his Father is, he lives and he moves in such freedom in the ways that we see him playing that out in the stories of the gospel. But what was it that Paul said about us last week? What did Paul say about us last week? Chosen, destined for adoption as sons and daughters. We have the same dad as Jesus. We have the same father as Jesus. Just let that sink in. Fully grasping that, knowing that not just in our heads but in our hearts, sets us free. Sets us free in some of the ways that we see Jesus running free in the way that he does things. If we know who we are, if we know who we are, and if we know whose we are his, we can be completely secure in the love and care of an all-powerful supreme being that we can call, as the scriptures say, Abba, Father. That's daddy or dad. That's how intimate it is. We call him dad. A father who has your back and has your best interests at heart. A father who, no matter what happens in life and despite all of the challenges that come, is completely trustworthy for all your provision and for your future, even beyond this life. He has our backs into eternity. So whether we live or we die, or we're sick or we're troubled or we're hurt or we're confused, we have a Father who never leaves us, who never gives up on us. And living out of that place means we can fully and freely live. Learning, sometimes slowly learning, but learning, to let go of all the other voices and all the other influences and all the other pressures that are trying to play into our life and speak into our lives. It's a slow learn, I know that, because that's the same for me as well. I don't need to listen to those voices, I need to listen to one voice, the Father's voice over me. And that's what Jesus knew deeply. That's how he lived among us as he did. So how do we live more like Jesus did? It's always the big question, isn't it? But put it simply, follow in the ways of Jesus and remember who your Father is. Follow in the ways of Jesus and remember who your Father is. It hit me again during the week, some of what Cameron said at David's baptism last week. And the whole picture he gave of baptism as following in the footsteps of Jesus, the going under the water is like the death and burial of Jesus, and then the coming out of the water like rising, Jesus' resurrection. And then there's the walking out of the water to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, which is what David put his hand up to do last week when he was baptized. I read something during the week just at the time I was preparing this, and I thought, oh, that's perfect. Thank you, Lord. I'm reading a book by a guy called Dallas Willard, and he puts it like this. He speaks of walking in the footsteps of Jesus as learning from him how to lead my life as he would lead my life if he was me. So part of following in the footsteps of Jesus, part of our discipleship, is learning from him how to lead my life as he would lead my life if he was me. And Dallas Willard goes a little bit further. He says it takes it into our workplaces, or we could be taking it into the places that we spend most of our time during the week, most of our areas of responsibility and everything. And he says this, to be a disciple of Jesus is crucially to be learning from Jesus how to do your job as Jesus himself would do it. Now, that's probably not rocket science for us, but put like that, that's pretty cool, isn't it? So look at how Jesus lived. See who he was, and don't just copy what he did. Good to copy what Jesus did, for sure, but don't just do that. But be to other people how Jesus was to other people. In your workplace, in your study place, in whatever area of responsibility you have. Jesus consistently had a problem with one group of people that he dealt with in the Gospels. Anybody want to have a guess? Who was the group of people that Jesus had a lot of problems with? Go on, be brave. The Pharisees. Yes, the Pharisees. You know, Jesus' biggest problem with the Pharisees was that they were more intent on doing the actions on the outside rather than allowing themselves to be changed by God on the inside, and then act out of that. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. First, be the person like Jesus is. And then do what you do as Jesus would. It doesn't happen overnight. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to do that. It's one of the reasons Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit coming after he leaves, to help us to do that. All this only really works if our identity is settled in who our Father is and who Jesus is, which is what we've been talking about. So in the next part of the passage, Jesus speaks about the fact that we are all different. Yep, okay, we know that. We've each been given grace as Christ apportioned it. In other words, we all live this out depending on where we're up to in our lives with our walk with Christ or the gifts or resources he's given us. And then he talks about how certain people with particular gifts and skills have actually been given as a gift to the church. He gives these people as a gift to the church. So he talks about apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers. They are gifts given to the church. What's their role? For what? Well, I just want to use a slightly different translation here just to look at this, the next couple of verses 12 and 13. Their role is to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other. Efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive to Christ. It's a little bit different to the NIV, but I think that's helpful. It's kind of what we've just been talking about, though, isn't it? Growing up in Christ, so that the whole body will grow and build itself up in love as each part does its work. No longer infants tossed about, the second part there, verse 14. No longer infants tossed about by any sort of whims of teaching or anything that come along, but mature adults growing up in Christ, moving forward, learning from Him. Because you see, in God's plan, it's not, well, even right from the beginning, it's not about us individually. It's about us collectively. Knowing who we are as God's sons and daughters is crucial, okay? That's the point we've been making the last couple of weeks. But part of knowing that properly in God's kingdom, knowing who we truly are, means that we understand that we're a part of something collectively and relationally, right? We see it in Jesus. He was always focused on other people, yes? So we have brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Look around. These are some of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Church is a part of that. It's one expression of it. It's not the only one, but it's often a good one. And the brilliance of that for a church like West Ryde Community Church here, a church which understands at least partly its role as a community church in this diverse multicultural setting where we have Farsi and we have Arabic and we have Korean and we have Chinese and we have all of these different language groups and all this mix of diversity and different parts of the community from all around the world. Part of the brilliance of this for you guys here is that we look outward again from this community into the wider community as well, and then seek to express the way of Jesus to them, to the rest of the community. And so all of this is for the benefit of those who are lost or hurting. Chris prayed about it before, who don't yet understand who they really are or why they're here or what their true destiny, you know, where their true destiny lies or what they're even here for. I mean, some people just don't even get why they're here. So that helps us to help them find their Father who loves them. It helps them discover and live who they are as well as we discover who we are in Christ. That's God's plan as we grow up in Christ. And as verse 16 says, we all do our bit. We all do our bit. That's my translation of it. So good. But having heard all that, I just want to pause there for a moment because we've just skimmed through that first part of chapter 4. My hope is that you would be encouraged out of these 3 weeks maybe to go back and read the whole of the book of Ephesians because it's just brilliant and encouraging. It's a great read. But with what we've already seen in mind, we're going to change tack right now. We're going to go back to chapter 1, which is what we dealt with last week, and look at the second part of that, where Paul prays for the people that he's writing the letter to. But it's a prayer which we can take on ourselves as well. We can hear it over ourselves. And I'm going to invite us to do that in a moment. So Paul says, from verse 15 in chapter 1, he says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you. And I'm remembering you in my prayers." And then he prays, or he gives the content of his prayer. And so what I want us to do this morning is just receive this prayer over us as part of our clues and our equipping for how we live the way that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. Will you do that with me? Some of you might want to just close your eyes as I say these words and just let them wash into you. Some of you might prefer to look at it up on the PowerPoint. Whatever works for you best, hear these words over you this morning. Here they are. Keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We can put an amen on the end of that. So be it. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. God gives these so we'd know him better. Eyes of our hearts. Who would have thought we had eyes? Eyes in our hearts. It's the way Paul describes it. May they be opened to know the hope to which he's called us. May we know the incredible power at work through God. So this is our heritage. This is our inheritance. It's who we are as sons and daughters of the Most High God. We can hear that prayer over us. And even when this life is over, when our time is done, we continue to be his sons and daughters into eternity. We retain our identity. We don't hand in those identity cards at the end of this life. We continue to be his. So I just invite you to allow that prayer over you and allow that prayer to help you to live it and grow in it along the way. And I guess my prayer for us as we finish off this three-week series, it's a little bit like Paul's this morning, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know what God has revealed to us. To know this hope and to live these kind of lives in the midst of our crazy, confusing world, because it is crazy and confusing at times, isn't it? To live these lives in the way of Jesus and to help others to find their home in who God is for them as well. That's a part of what we're about. So I want to finish off this morning with something a little bit different. I want to actually teach a song this morning. And it's a song, I had in mind another song, but this is a song that I came across again in the last week, actually, again. And the words to this song just fit in with what we've been talking about these last 3 weeks. And the power of a song is that hopefully we sing and throw a couple of times. You might go out of this place today with those words ringing in your ears. You might have it going in your mind during the week. That's the power of music sometimes. So this is a song called Who You Say I Am. I'm just going to grab my guitar and we'll sing it together. Somebody do those words for me, please. Hayley, are you still on deck with that? Thanks, Hayley. That's great. Just invite invite us to use this as a bit of a reflection to start with. If you know it, or you learn songs quickly, feel free to join in with me, but I will stand us up, maybe invite us to stand and join in after we've gone through it, part of it.
Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he bought me in, oh, his love for me, oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free,
seated and continue to reflect, that's fine. You don't have to do anything. You want to get it for me?
Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me, oh, his love for me.